For I know most of you here, there are some new faces. I'm so happy to see you. I'm Molly Miller, the Community Relations Specialist for the district. We have some special guests here this morning. We're going to go ahead and introduce yourselves. Pardon?
I'm Wade Carpenter.
Everybody knows Wade? Okay. So I think that people are angry, of course, and frustrated. Dr. Conley is traveling on a pre-planned trip, but just to let you guys know, what I'm doing is I've created a crisis communications checklist, and I'm sending it around to teachers, or to administrators rather, and principals, making sure that not only are internal communications up to speed and everybody knows what's expected so that our principals and our teachers know what's going on, also our external communications. So if and when a future incident rises to the level that we need to start communicating and letting people know what's going on, we have a procedure in place. I'm gonna release that checklist. I'm working with Bubba, the Park Record, and I'm sure Josh is going to be publishing it on the Park Rag. So it'll be accessible. No surprises next time as far as what information you're gonna get and how you're gonna get it. I want your feedback on your best ways to get information, and I want your feedback on ways that the district can improve overall. I know we have a lot of trust to earn from the community at this point, so that's what my goal is to increase that trust, or establish it, rather. So go ahead, let's chat. If there are any police procedure questions regarding threats in general, not specifically the situation, we can direct those to the chief.
Which portion?
On the portion that there was a threat.
In October, that one was correct. Let me just kind of give a summary of what happened. In October, and I can't get into a lot of details on the individual itself, I'm going to talk in hypotheticals. We received a threat specific to this, that there was an issue. Our school resource officer, Zach Nakayishi, immediately let us know there was problems. At that point, we met with the district, and there was a plan in place to deal with the individual that was involved in this. And I want to say that I may be wrong, but it was my understanding that this young lady has not heard of it. I'm not sure exactly the whole situation. Was out of the school from October until...
And I don't know the specifics on that, actually.
So I understand that in the last 7 years, huge part of what my job has been, both nationally and internationally, is reviewing active shooter cases for the International Association of Chiefs of Police. I do this all the time. I sit on their executive board, their financial review committee, and the patrol tactical, which we evaluate active shooter cases. Anytime you have an individual that's alienated for long periods of time, there is an increased chance of another active shooter. Understand that. And so we have to evaluate that information as a district, as a police department, as law enforcement, and say, okay, what are the specialists telling us dealing with these type of cases? What is it that they're telling us that we need to evaluate? This was one of those pieces. We felt like after 7 months and the information we had internally, that it was safe for that individual to come back to the environment. Understand that I would always rather know where that person is than not know and have them walk on a campus anytime during that 7 months. And so while we were able to take the temperature over that 7 months and be able to analyze kind of where we were at with this person, that was my view. Right, wrong, indifferent, that was the decision that was made. Now, when that individual came back to school, that was not my decision. That's not our choice. That's a district policy. It's beyond my ability to communicate with parents. That is outside of my realm of authority, just so you guys understand. Typically, we've had, during this process, I thought the communication was great. I'm not up to the final piece of it, but everything prior to it. I felt confident with the plan itself. My kids graduated from the school. I would have felt confident sending them to school. This thing blew up with the social media. I got a call from Dr. Hale, actually, about 6 o'clock on Monday night.
he works over in Park City. That's kind of irrelevant other than he's a neighbor, and just said, hey, my daughter had this text on Twitter, I'm concerned, I don't really want to drag him into this, but basically I'm saying he's a credible person, and I felt like, you know, there's something here, so I immediately sent this out to my sergeant and one of my officers, Zach. I said, where are we at on this? I said, Chief, it's covered. We got this taken care of. We met with district, we have a plan in place. We're still not sure exactly when he's coming back, and so we're kind of in this quandary as to when that exact date is. I said, all right, let's have officers on scene in the event. This date that came up, I don't know where that came from.
And this is all Monday night.
This was Monday night.
You don't know where the date came from.
I don't know where the date came from.
Okay.
Do you know where the date came from?
I
have no idea where the third date came from.
But your office has the whole Tumblr account with the dates.
What's that?
Your office has the Tumblr account with the date.
What are you talking about?
Tumblr is a social media.
Okay.
Your office has it.
Okay. That's fine. Whatever the case is, whoever put that date out, I'm saying whoever put that date out, you know, there was some information that was given in writing prior to that. But as far as when the student is coming back to school, that's what I'm saying. Because that was never determined.
The student had been back to school before.
That I don't know.
So when this threat happened last October, there was no specific date mentioned of when they were going to do whatever
I think there was
they
a
were
plan.
Threatening to do.
Right, so I think I think the date that he was referencing was the date the student was going to return to school.
Right, we didn't know that.
The date of the threat was, yes, we all knew that.
But I guess what I'm saying, the date the child was to return to school for the final summer.
So how did this information become knowledge the night before?
That's a good question.
That's a great question.
I know how.
Okay, please share with me.
Because children know who this person is,
okay.
And they know what the threat was.
Okay.
So kids knew through rumor, and that's how we found
out. Now that's what I'd like to stop at. Rumor. And when this goes on, and I recognize it happens, I recognize social media, you cannot underestimate social media. This is a huge issue. And there was the rumor going on, and every parent that called myself or the police department, I felt that they felt confident in our response. The ones that didn't call and went to social media and started blogging, that was a problem.
But that's how we think
was the email.
And that I didn't have.
That's what triggered that.
I found out about the email the following morning when my neighbor came and pounded on my door at 6:10 in the morning.
So here's my concern is that if you guys knew about this and you knew that the threat was for the third.
No, we didn't know. You knew that there was a threat
that was made by the student on a very specific day, sometime in May.
I have more copies of the Tumblr account. If I knew the threat was made third, I went to your police department and met with your police officers. I just had to follow through with what I was trying to find out.
So you knew there was a specific day that a threat was supposed to occur from this student who was no longer in the district for an extended period of time. Obviously, other people in the community knew that as well. However, that got out by rumor was the way it seems to be handled in a small community. We all know each other.
Mm-hmm.
Why, at the time when this threat was made, were the parents not notified that a specific threat was made at some point in the future that's being taken care of? You're a police officer, you avert crises. Why did you not see that this was going to be a crisis when it was finally released?
So,
because I don't have the authority to speak on the matter.
But you have the authority to advise the district. And they're saying that you do have the authority. So why was this decision not made to notify the people who were going to be involved to avert a crisis? Do we not have the ability as a community to avert crises? But we didn't.
I didn't see it was a crisis.
Right. How can you not see it's a crisis?
Could you let me talk?
Yeah, go ahead.
Please. What I'm trying to tell you is that I wasn't aware there was an email going out at 10 o'clock.
Nobody was.
Okay. So the idea being is that we had a plan.
discussed officers being on scene.
Right.
And I was not aware that the child was coming back.
We don't care about that. Nobody does. What we care about is why, if you guys knew about this and you were making things more safe at the school, did you not notify parents? Why were parents not notified?
I think that's
why could you not see that this would be a disaster?
It could have.
Why? How could you not see that?
So I agree with you. And I think that by the time we all learned about what was the questions and a lot of, so in October, let me just start with October, the safety team joined with law enforcement. They neutralized the threat, good to go. Everything was handled. The safety plan was in place. The safety plan worked. The safety plan was efficient and effective. The communication plan sucked. There was no communication plan. There wasn't one.
And why? How is that not a part of the safety plan? How is that not part of a safety plan?
And that is exactly what. Yes.
It's just insane to think that we live in this day and age and you're not educating the population and being involved.
Yes, I agree. And so what I've done as a result of this, I've been in this job for 2 months. And so one of my goals is obviously to get a crisis communication plan in action. I have a checklist that I've created that I'm sending out. And I mentioned this a little earlier. So that checklist includes how to communicate with parents efficiently, effectively. Anything you need to know, as many details as we can possibly release and provide under FERPA laws or whatever kind of laws, I'm working on making sure you have that information. When it comes to your child's safety, of course it's an emotional response. People are pissed. I get it. I have a baby. If I thought her safety was in question, I would freak out. So I understand.
And it's not just the safety, it's the inability for people who are supposed to be professionals and know what they're doing to so totally screw up.
Yes.
We're trusting our kids with your professional ability,
yes.
And you're not professional. You send out emails that are appalling and create crisis. Mm-hmm.
The timing.
This is all totally manufactured crisis that did not have to happen.
Can I come in real quick? Mm-hmm. First of all, I have a question. It doesn't have to be answered. I'm just going to get it out. It'll be quicker. Could the police department have notified somebody like the park director and let us know so that it didn't happen
we
in
could.
The district?
No, we couldn't.
And district. What was tying your hands from being able to do so?
We don't have the authority to speak on behalf of the school district.
But do you have the authority to speak on behalf of the community?
Not when it relates to the district.
And wait.
Well,
let her finish her question. She's kind of trying to get the words out.
You've got to understand how the process works.
Well, that's what we're trying to understand.
I don't have authority to speak on behalf of the district.
Yeah,
I know that an email was going out. That would have been a conversation.
Yeah, if we'd known the email was going out, we would have addressed this stuff.
We would have had
everybody would have.
We would have had a different email.
First of all, I've been brought in to, I got a promotion this winter under a crisis situation is how I got the promotion. So nothing in terms of safety, but.
Where do you work?
I'm one of the head coaches for Team Park City United.
Okay.
So everything blew up and everybody got fired and just things kind of went crazy. So I got brought in kind of under duress. And what I found is I said, you can handle the communication. And I said, okay. And then all of a sudden I was handling communication. I was literally getting 80 emails a day. And that's probably a fraction of what you're getting. But what I learned from this experience is that when you put out something vague, people will fill in the narrative and they will fill in the blanks every single time. So I actually had to walk into my boss's office and do a little what the hell and just say, look, if you're going to put something out there, you have to put it together in the most concise, because we're getting information now. So the information should have been 100%. And there should have been a dialogue that we could have all had as parents before the 3rd. somebody's baby, this is somebody's sibling, so we don't want to, because we don't want to mob or pitchfork this kid, right? But we need this information, and it should never be vague, and it should always be timely, and you should not leave any gray areas. You should have a few people look over these emails, possibly the police officers look over these emails.
That is absolutely.
And then they should be sent out before the school week, so that people have the weekend to marinate, figure things out, and make good decisions. Because otherwise, this is going to happen every single time, and it's not fair to the police. It's not fair to us parents, and it's certainly not fair to this kid, because now students know who this kid is. If this was handled in a more professional, calm way, this kid would not be targeted, and that's the thing that I'm the most pissed off
right.
about.
Right,
to
exactly.
Just one thing to appreciate. I want to restate, there was not a threat in the sales that there was any threat to the children in the school.
But did you read that email that we got at 10:49?
I recognize that. This was driven by the social media, and the facts were inaccurate. I can tell you that.
Well, but the thing is that the facts were inaccurate because we had to fill in the narrative.
I understand.
And the narrative was
I'm not repeating that at all.
So the spawn that initiated this fear was this horrible email at 10:04 at night, and then I get texts from my daughter the next morning, and she doesn't know what's going on, and now she's concerned, and they're feeding off the fear. So you've got parents who I deal with parents all day long, and I think we have enough time on our hands to breed a lot of angst and fear, and that's just what a lot of parents do, and that's okay, because it makes us aware of what's going on. But you've got these parents freaking out and texting your kids, and everything's going. You know, it was an absolute disaster. And so this communication has to be very specific.
And not only was it a disaster from that standpoint, many of us didn't get this text. I got this text or this email at 6:34 in the morning after I heard it on the radio.
And that is something that I'm also drilling down on. The school messenger system, which is the system that was used to send out that email. I guess the servers they said it takes a little while to cycle through the servers or something, which is something that I find unacceptable. If there's an emergency notification that has to go out and has to let you know immediately,
it's got to get out immediately.
It can't be 24 hours
right.
later.
I agree. So we'll
continue to use school messenger, but I'm also going to utilize other channels of communication.
Well, there, I mean, for emergencies, you guys knew about this
right.
a long time ago, so this shouldn't have been handled.
So along those lines, I have a question. Can you give us like a rundown of what happened that way?
Yes.
Obviously, as you said, it's been known for months.
Right.
There's rumors out there, people are worried about it. What happened? Was it a decision that the administration made? Was it a decision that the school board made? Who made the decision to send that email? And who was in on that conversation?
Yes. Okay.
Really,
yep.
And who reviewed?
Okay. So, from my perspective, I got a text at about 6:00 on Monday night notifying me of the situation. I had no prior knowledge of it, and I was concerned because people were starting to ask a lot of questions and voice a lot of concerns.
Can I just clarify that? You got an email notifying you from who about what situation?
From our administration.
And what was the situation they notified you
that
about?
There were people concerned about a potential threat on school. So I said, okay, so if people are asking about this, we need to be as transparent as possible and get the word out. At that point, some folks in the administration had known about the threat, had been working with law enforcement. The threat was totally neutralized. There was no kids, at no point were kids in danger from this situation. As I started to kind of learn the details, we crafted
a more lengthy email that was to be sent out. The lawyer vetoed the majority of the information that was in the email. And at that point, my job, and this is where I had a failure, I could have pushed for more. I should have pushed for more. There's a way to release details that can reassure people that don't violate FERPA laws or privacy laws. And this has been the biggest learning curve for me, is how much we can release. And that's something that I'm meeting with Captain Kirk next week to discuss. I'm meeting with our lawyer to discuss. I'm personally committed to making sure that nothing remotely close to this ever happens again.
So you got the text at 6 o'clock at night, and then you crafted a letter, and the attorney vetoed it. What happened next?
The approved part of the email was sent to our secretary, who forwarded out via school messenger. And at that point, I posted the approved content on Facebook, because I know people get pissed when they find out on social media, but they're finding out. You know, that's my goal, is to make sure I'm communicating with people where the conversation is happening. So if you didn't get the email till 6 o'clock, maybe you would have seen it on, you know what I mean? Like, I'm just putting
it out
there. Yeah,
but that has to be simultaneous. You cannot have an email go, or
yes.
I mean, a Facebook post go out, because that creates the crisis.
I actually disagree. I actually think it's the information
that needs to stay to both places. Right. No, that's what I'm saying. It should be pushed out,
and
it should be pushed out everywhere at the same time.
And I wanted that email to arrive immediately.
Yeah.
So I'm gonna get to the bottom of that.
Email, mm-hmm. text.
Exactly.
I mean, you have all
phone
of our call, phone numbers.
Robocall. Exactly. That's all on the list.
And yes.
So it was, guys, it sucked. The timing of when that email was sent out was atrocious. I totally agree.
Who was in on the decision to draft the email?
So at that point, it was administration and the board and myself and the lawyer. Pardon? Oh, so like Ember, Tom Van Gorder, like the people in the district office.
So the board and all those administration people all reviewed the actual email, that that content that was sent out.
Right. So that was what was approved by the lawyer.
All of those people approved
that email. The ultimate approval is, you know, is the superintendent and the lawyer. So that was the end result. The content of the email that went out was approved by the superintendent and the lawyer, based on the lawyer's advice. Pardon? I can check the email chain and see if they were on that email. I don't think they were on that specific email.
Could I say something?
Yeah.
Just if it works like city council, legislative and administrative process. Administrative process would fall back to the superintendent.
Mm-hmm.
Legislative part, I'm not saying you can't sit it there, but typically it would be attorney, the district, and the other stakeholders, in the sense that people are bored and keep you down.
Well, I'm asking specifically because board members have been in touch with them, and it's very
So that's a great
question.
Not just this time, but also after the master plan was denied. Why was it? She conveniently took a. Something was going on there, and now she's conveniently away. So it's like, when there is controversy in this community, we need our leader to be there to answer questions. She shows up in a very controlled environment where we're not allowed to ask these questions. So those are my concerns.
Those are totally good. I can't speak to the master planning. That's before my time.
Right.
She did have a pre-planned vacation. I'm sorry, not vacation. She did a leadership conference. She will be here a week from today. That's a promise. I'll be here too, May 13th, 8:30 a.m. It was a pre-planned event.
So this forum was, you know, on the documentation I had, was a forum with her.
So we call it office hours with Dr. Conley, is what it's called. So there's been another circumstance, and John, you can speak to this, where she was unavailable, she was away, so I still hold
up. Why are we having office hours with someone that's not able to attend, and why is it happening?
Well, that's a good question. I thought that everybody would want to have a chance to gather and vent today, so that's why I didn't cancel it.
Again, but it's still in the narrative. If everybody that showed up here was expecting something, and when it's not, and when it's vague, especially the first time that you said it was a pre-planned whatever, and it's vague, we've all been sitting around for 25 minutes now filling in the narrative.
Mm-hmm. Well, I did mention at the top that she had a pre-planned.
It was this very vague thing. It wasn't. You see what I mean? This is a prime mm-hmm. example. Because if you would have said there was a pre-planned leadership conference mm-hmm. at so and so, she was not here, or even better, you knew this was going to blow up a little bit. Announce it. Say have a special note and say, hey, so she will not be here because she has this. Again, we get to sit around and marinate and fill in this narrative. And this is the problem.
If my suggestion would be on those flyers, if there aren't, I mean, I think it's great that you gave an emphasis out to these here too, but on the flyers, make it clear that they should actually hear and not. Mm-hmm. Because if it was that pre-planned, that flyer should have a little asterisk that said,
mm-hmm. Exactly, because then we get to fill it in. And what we're going to fill it in with is always going to be negative. So what you fill it in with and letting us know what's going on, it's going to let us feel like, okay, our fearless leader really wants to be our fearless leader. You see what I mean? There's a difference in communication style. So if everybody's, if you want to be transparent in all areas and just let us know. Because we will. We'll sit around and what we fill the narrative with is not going to be what you want us to know. So,
you know, I just like to say, life is not perfect. Humans are not perfect. And my first child went into the school district 11 years ago. So I guess I had confidence in our police and our sheriff that I felt confident that the plan for security had been vetted. And my child was at the high school at 7 o'clock to finish a Spanish project. And so while the communication was not optimal, I still feel that if the district felt it was unsafe for our children to have been in that building, like when we had an H1N1 breakout, we didn't send them. So I, as a parent, felt a plan was in place because I know that the district has plans in place. So, you know, I just have to stand up, and I feel Molly is kind of walking into this thing with,
taking it on the
you know,
shoulder.
And I think we all know, are grateful and are given respect.
Stepping into a new goal, a new job, trying to navigate this, and you know it wasn't optimal, but I'm just saying, I think
I have something
that... You're learning experience, and you're trying to move forward. It's true, you know, the world's not going to be here, it's great to send out,
yes.
You know, and there's not a conflict. But I'm saying, you know, as a community, can we come together, can we have some kindness,
absolutely, but the crux of the problem is we don't trust the district, we don't trust Amber, and we don't trust the school board. So in a situation where you do not trust the people who are in charge of your children, a crisis created like this is a disaster. So and re-earning that trust is going to take a lot.
Right, so tell me a little bit, let's talk a little bit about that. Because that's something that I noticed before I joined the district office, that's something that needs to happen. We need to establish trust between the district and the community and teachers. And how do you, what would help us get to that point?
Here's what happened with me when I first met Amber. I fell in love with her. She was an amazing, powerful woman who responded to my emails and my questions thoughtfully. And then over the next 6 months, she didn't do what I asked. She didn't talk to me when I asked why didn't this happen, and it was specific issues that could easily have been handled. Then she didn't do it with the community. So now she's telling the community one thing, and then on the radio she's saying another thing. We're hearing two different stories. We have no ability to communicate with Ember because she's built a wall between us, her and the community. And the only way she communicates is through radio outputs that are snarky. And for me, for one, I have no confidence in her. And she is the person that's representing the school board. So as her being the representative of the school board, I have no confidence in the school board. So until this changes, I have no confidence in the school board.
And I would just like to echo, I mean, we've now had, this is the second crisis of 2016. If you think back to January, we had the situation with Mr. Spitzer at Ecker, where we had a forum which was not particularly well handled.
Okay.
A lot of it circled around technology. The technology director was not present to answer any questions as to why this was allowed to occur for several months on the district computers without any situations. And in terms of the follow-up on that topic, it's been absolutely pathetic. So that's one of my questions, is to understand where we are in terms of, I know there was one note sent out on filtering threat technology, there was a safety forum in April. That's all great, but what else are we doing to make sure that we don't have this problem? Because this is now the third incident within the district in a short period of time. So again, like when you talk, it's a communication issue, right? We're not happy with the communication. We have walls built. But we've also had specific issues in the district, and it seems like the response is always sort of like, we'll put a Band-Aid on, and we just want people maybe to push it out and forget. And I think that's one of the issues, is that everyone's putting trust out there, and there have been a number of series where, they haven't really delivered.
I think those are great points. So let's kind of talk about the Spitzer thing a little bit. So the safety forum, the Gaggle, so are all of you aware of what Gaggle is?
Mm-hmm.
It's this new service that the district has implemented, and it flags any sort of potentially questionable content, whether that's sexual innuendo or any sort of like bullying, and then it's read by an actual person. And then if that person decides that there's something that needs to move forward, then the administration is notified. So that's the biggest thing that's been implemented since that incident. It covers email and all communications on Google Drive to the school, a Google school. So then there's that that's been implemented, and then the Student Safety Forum. What else? How else? Sorry, Kevin.
Is it John?
It's John. I think he's been trying to say
something. I'm sorry.
It's okay. It's fine. Well, let me take one good step back.
Sure.
Who made the decision to allow this student back in the school?
I do not know. On that end, because of FERPA laws, I don't have that.
It would be good to know what occurred. But also know to put one step in place to protect other students at that facility. Okay? These students obviously knew who this person was. It's not like the foreigners and the DMZ folks. So there had to have been fallout before this incident happened. But had to.
I can answer that. So, I got a call from my daughter one day. To be exact, I think it was April 15th. Where's your daughter? She goes to the first of high school, and she has a couple of classes. That this student is returning to school after being away for a while.
Okay.
She was very wrong. My daughter. Because she knew this individual, she had started elementary through.
What?
Yes. So on, I think it was 4/14 actually, I got a call. I went in, met with Lindsay Huntsman, Nicole Huntsman, Lindsay, is it? Wait,
Lindsay Huntsman, Nicole Stewart.
Diane Cashel, Sam Welsh, maybe that was it. Like, hey, what's going on? Like, my daughter has a concern that she knows this girl outside of school, although they never spent time together, but there are real concerns, and she's worried about this student coming back. So they gave me the safety plan of what's taking place. I went home, gave it some thought, and did
did not feel comfortable still. You know, I just did not feel comfortable. So Friday morning, the 15th, I went to the police department with the information that is no longer, you know, accessible on the internet, but it was a Tumblr account with the May 3rd threat.
Sorry. I don't know. Was that exactly?
So it was written. Who was the author of the Tumblr account?
The individual.
Gotcha. Okay. Yeah. Sorry. So okay. Twitter. Gotcha.
All right.
There was that as well. There was that as well.
Using the internet.
Right. That was Tumblr, not Twitter.
I read.
Right. Okay. So I knew, and that's what I said. I knew that you had it, but I actually had it.
I just wanted to clarify with all the social media.
We were really concerned because, as a parent, like when I got home and was asking my daughter, like, you know, what's the story? Like, what's this Tumblr account? Like, why are you nervous about going back to school? Like, she pulled up the Tumblr account, which I didn't know anything about Tumblr, so it was, I'm like, what's Tumblr, you know? It was really concerning,
Okay.
And part of the safety plan.
I just want to clarify, you go through this stuff too. I didn't see a threat. Did you see a threat?
We saw May 3rd. I mean, isn't that why we're all here? Yeah. May 3rd?
May 3rd, as far as what she originally said.
Right.
I didn't know if there was a threat. I was trying to find like, an additional.
Yeah. Threat. You know, I mean, I have what you have, so. So my question is, you know, so I went in that Friday morning to the police department with what I had for information as a concerned parent that this student coming back and felt like it was really, really scary stuff. Really scary stuff. When I left there, I went to the high school to ask to meet my principal. We had already had the meeting with Lindsay, and I just felt like, okay, this is a legit threat or concern to our community. Like, parents should be aware. Teachers from the Learning Center should be aware. Teachers at the high school should be aware. Because this student is not allowed on any district property. She's not allowed on the school bus. You know, they're making exceptions for her to come back to the Learning Center because they can find her there. But parents at the Learning Center don't have the right to know that this girl is coming back. So we sat with Tom Van Gordon, Lindsay Stewart, Sam Wells, Aaron Helsch, Officer Zach, on a number of different occasions, the 18th, so the 14th, 15th, 17th, whatever those dates are, three separate meetings. Of me in there saying, does the board know? Does the board know what's going on? The answer was no. Who's making this decision for this girl to come back? Like, who is, it's obviously coming from Ember. She did not attend any of these meetings that she was requested to be there. So who's making the decision? And they were like, it's the administration, they're making the decision, you know, we can only say so much. You know, obviously, we talked about the Tumblr, we talked about safety plans that was in place. I do believe on two occasions that this individual has abused what is going on. I did go to the police department again this week, but on three separate occasions, Tom sat there and said, we will let parents know. We will let teachers know. We will let our staff know. There is a photo going out of this individual. So, if she were to walk into the high school, then at least her staff would know, like, hey, this girl's not supposed to be here. She's not supposed to be here. Nobody knew. Teachers are finding out. Staff is finding out. 10 o'clock the night before. Ember lied. She sat there and absolutely lied.
So was she there?
She was not
okay,
there.
So she...
But she gave her staff and said, this is coming from our administration, that we are sending out an email. And that did not happen until 10 o'clock the night before. So it's BS that she were to come to you or whatever your plan was in place saying that it was just happy October, but it's just, you know, today parents are starting to get a little bit concerned. No, because I have every date in October where they said this
I hear you.
But I don't think you do.
Oh,
I do.
I know, but I'm not meeting you, but I just
hear it from you.
I just don't think overall that it's
right.
But it's just really frustrating. It's really frustrating because my daughter that morning was like, "Mom, guess what?
Absolutely.
There's two police officers at the learning center. There's one at the high school. Mm-hmm. Like, obviously, you know, they're preparing for tomorrow. So that morning, there could have been something that went out."
So
it didn't have to be 10 o'clock.
This was entirely avoidable.
Yes.
And
that's really the problem.
Yes, she needs to step down. Like, she did not want to step down.
Part of it, honestly, is the part of it's the learning center.
They didn't know either. From what the teachers at the learning center didn't know.
She met with Diane Cashel. She met with the principal of the learning center.
Did the learning center teachers know? The learning center teachers did not.
Oh, that's what I'm trying to say. Let me finish.
Yeah, sorry.
Part of this is the staff at the learning center, not the teachers. By the way, the teachers at the learning center come. My daughter goes to learning center, and she's never had a behavioral problem. She's Mensa smart. She just inherited my ADHD. and she's doing phenomenally. The teachers are what makes that learning center. It is not the administrators that make the learning center. I have a great relationship with Diane Cashel personally, but the very fact that this principal is now going to, without cause, let go two of these phenomenal teachers who are these children's rocks and stabilities and making all the difference in the world, and they're sitting there facing all the fire every single day without information. And still doing a phenomenal job. It is absolutely unacceptable. This comes from the principal at the learning center. She is definitely on the same vibration as what's going on in the district office that's causing things to fall apart.
So let's talk about how we can fix it. I feel your anger and frustration. I share some of the frustration, and my goal, I'm committed to fixing this as much as it can be fixed. So let's talk about how we can move forward.
I have a suggestion.
Yes.
I think to start off with, we need to build trust.
Yes.
And I think the way that we can build trust with the community is if the school board wants to stay in place, they fire Amber.
My daughter's requesting an apology from Amber. She feels like she was straight out lied to by the district office. She's 16 years old. We are trying to schedule a meeting with Amber, and she is requesting an apology because she was in every meeting with us. She went to the board meeting last night, and
you said she was in every meeting?
Your
daughter?
Oh,
your daughter was. Okay.
Her daughter was in
Thank
every
you.
Meeting.
Okay.
Wondering, where's the leader? Like, this is kind of a big deal.
Sure.
It seems like this is the biggest kind of crisis our little school, I mean, as far as a threat.
Sure.
I know there have been many threats,
right.
But just, you know, with the individual coming back.
Will you make sure to loop me in? I'll give you my card on that request, and I'll make sure that happens, that we get a meeting set up.
No, I'm...
You have a
meeting.
Okay,
yeah.
Good. All right. Hey,
not you.
No, I know. But
seriously, if we don't want more fallout, if this was the topic that was discussed last night at the elections with the school board, mm-hmm. and every one of them there said transparency, communication, this was a disaster. Mm-hmm. It has to be the leader of this disaster who's held responsible. And she's not taking responsibility. She has yet to apologize. She has yet to come to the meetings. She didn't go to last night's Park City.
She was at the leadership conference. Yeah.
There's always an excuse with Amber. I mean, it's perpetual. It's been going on for years since she's been here. So one more thing. She's having surgery. She's having whatever. I think she's not an effective leader. Our community does not have faith in her. And if we want to gain faith in the remainder of the school board, we need to have somebody step up and say, "I'm sorry, I did many things wrong, I'm stepping down." And if she's not willing to do that, it'll come out in the elections. People will replace the current school board,
and she will be fired.
Because that is what's on everybody's mind. Everybody I talk to want Ember gone.
If you take the principal of Arkansas.
Yeah.
Can any reliable member of the community go to the learning center to debrief them, to find out individual teachers what they knew, what they believe they should have known? It's not just the learning center at the learning center, it's special ed at the learning center. I can't imagine this person, I don't even know who this is, into a situation where there are special ed kids as well.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like, this is like a nightmare just waiting to happen.
So we know what the parents are thinking, right? That you're seeing. Did you feel unsafe? Did you feel poorly? What were your thoughts?
And just so everybody knows, Andrew and Petra are both running for school board.
What are you doing? Are you sending your kid to school? Should I send my kid to school? And I had a couple of responses. One of them was, if there were a real threat, what Shannon said, we wouldn't be open. So that's number one. Number two, and I shared this with Molly, nothing went out in Spanish immediately. And I said, you know what? Safety's not a luxury and my kids are going. And it really was a political thing for me, as well as I understood my children were safe. But I felt like, my gosh, like if there's a huge population of parents who don't even know to make a choice, my kids are going to school. I have one homesick, but my kid who was healthy, and when he woke up, and my older son has anxiety, and you know, I was trepidatious about how he was going to manage it, and he said to me, this was handled in October, and I just said to him, there was a problem in October, it was handled, and they're stepping up security at the high school, they're opening all the schools, and quite honestly, the superintendent has two children in the district in that campus. She's sending her kids to school. What do you think? He goes, it was handled in October? I'm out of here. And off he went to school. And he was one of two kids at his bus stop, and he went, and he was emailing me from school saying, the rumors are flying among the students. The principal hasn't said anything. The teacher hasn't said anything. Meantime, I'm on the phone with my co-president, Jeremy, saying, can you walk over to school and find out what Sean's going to do, our principal? And she called me back and said, he had a lockdown drill plan for today that he's in the midst of canceling, and then he's sending out a letter to all the parents, which was passionate and thoughtful and informative and on the ball. And what I'm saying is, had he had an extra minute's notice, he could have handled it even better, but he handled it better than the district handled it. And I sent him a couple of notes that day saying, we're really lucky to have you and thank you. And I called the school secretaries and I said, Seth's not in school today, but it's not because I don't trust you guys. It's because he's sick and I don't want him to give his germs. But if he were like an ounce better, I'd send him. So it was, to me, what was the big problem for me was, I mean, I'm a journalist. I'm trained to read between the lines. So I read the ridiculously bad note that went out on Facebook.
I saw the failures in school messenger because my husband got his email and I didn't get mine.
And I was like, text me as soon as you get it.
Right, and I'm texting Molly, and what I'm looking at is, okay, this is a bad PR moment in a successful situation, and why we're not leading with good news. We thwarted a problem,
right.
And
that should have been done Friday.
It should have been done a week ago.
Even Friday, so we had enough time.
Thursday.
It's really frustrating because we're in this day and age, this is not new information. It's like we're sitting here trying to recreate the wheel. This is known by school districts nationwide, statewide, and in this school district, there are specific schools who do handle it. So why is this specific school district having a problem?
And that's why we have no trust, is because everybody else in the world can get it right, but this school district can't.
So that's a great point, and I just met with the director of communications for Granite School District, Ben Horsley, yesterday. He oversaw my checklist, which I mentioned again, we're releasing that so that you can all take a look, give me feedback, let me know. I am going to learn from them. And let me just, Ember is so smart. She's so smart, she's so dedicated to the students. If there was ever any risk to the students, classes would have been shut down.
We don't trust Ember. Yes, I'm sorry, I understand. Ember's like the bad babysitter. Yep. So we can't.
That it would have been right. Shut down in a heartbeat.
Yes. That you too trust her, but the community does not trust her.
So, yes. Yes.
I think they are too. I think they're two separate issues.
We would have shut the school if I could do it.
And you know what? I trust that too.
Now, here, I trust you and I trust Molly because I've had this conversation with you in a group here where you're listening and understand. I don't trust Ember.
Well,
I don't trust the school board. They're not a part of this. They're not doing what they need to do to earn our trust.
And it felt like my family and every other family's mental health was not taken into consideration.
Exactly.
With that thing. And I feel that, like I said, a lot of calls. And one of my friends said to me, I'm a former political refugee. So I'm not real keen on authority telling me something. Like, her whole perspective is skewed by that. So every single family in this district has some story that informs the way they perceive this information. And that was disregarded. And that, you know, my approach to this is we as a district keep losing the story. We have one of the best districts in the country. I got a text from a friend of mine saying, well, we think we've got problems. My brother-in-law teaches in inner city Chicago, and one of his students was shot and killed last night. The other one is in critical care. So we, not to downplay what's going on here, but we have a gem of a school district. We have a lot of good things going for us. And every possible piece of good news, Molly's here now, this could change, but every possible piece of good news has been buried in bad news for years.
Yeah.
Right.
So it's but I think what angered me about it was we were given this information very late. Our own families were not taken into consideration. I felt like the fact of the successful thwarting of a problem was buried.
Yeah.
And I felt like, too, if you're so concerned about, you know, a copycat issue or whatever, and you're not saying it sooner, publicizing that there's extra security at one campus and the other campuses don't have extra security, a lot of people said to me that made us feel laid bare. That made us feel like if there had been a deputy, there had been somebody stationed in every school, we would just, if peace of mind-wise, it would have been cheap. I don't know. I'm not an expert. I'm just saying what people were telling me. I feel like it's my responsibility to bring forward what was said to me.
Can I just say that when we evaluated, we had officers there more so for the parents. anything.
Mm-hmm.
I did not feel it was a security issue. I didn't think there was a risk. We were taught that sheriff could actually we knew what the circumstances were. The child wasn't on the campus, so it's perception. Perception's reality.
Right.
I obviously understand we have limited resources.
Sure.
We do everything we can on a short notice with what we have, and that's what this was.
So,
yes.
Can I ask a question about that? So you were not planning on having extra security there until this came out at 10 o'clock at night?
No, I'm not saying that. We had actually had already planned.
So you did have already
planned. Yeah, we had officers already. I talked to
But if you thought it wasn't a threat, why did you have extra officers there?
Because we knew that the social media spun. If the social media would not spun up.
I mean, wait a minute, I'm confused about the timeline here. So you knew that, when did you know that there was going to be a threat? Or there was going to be a need for extra officers?
Probably, well, when we had the initial threat in October, we vetted things
okay.
and said, okay, what is it we're going to need resources for? We know where the individual is. We know that this child could have walked on campus at any time because they were out of school prior to that. That's what you guys need to be very clear on. Understand that at any time that child could have walked onto the campus. And
so why the extra police officers
because,
on that day?
Because we parents would want to have officers to speak to.
But why would we want that if we didn't know that?
I don't know. I can't put
it well, down. I'm confused. I'm just confused about the timeline.
It's because we were trying to put officers there so you had a resource. Understand when we started learning about this, we were making phone calls amongst ourselves. I didn't know a second email was going out.
That
night. Correct. And so I talked to our officers. I said, what's the security plan? Are we still solid? They said, yeah, we know where the individual is. We recognize there may be some concern with family. Let's have extra officers there to answer questions if there's a concern. That was my view.
We've closed it.
I mean, it wasn't that we communicated the security plan, but not on the
right. So the district communication obviously fell short on this. That sounds like the perfect plan to me.
I wasn't worried about this.
Right.
I was not until I started getting somebody pounding on the door at 6:10 in the morning.
Right.
And when I talked to individuals who called me, they felt confident. In fact, I had an FBI agent, Secret Service agent, who had children in this district call me and said, hey, Wade, what's going on? We heard this. Some of the kids are sending out social media stuff. And I said, this is what the plan is. They said, we're solid. We're good.
And I got that through the grapevine too. People who had spoken with you. So, and I thought that was great.
I agree with you.
But my question is, like Wade just said, and that was one of my points in the meetings, is that this individual, can walk into any school at any time. And why didn't Ember feel that she did not want to let her staff know that this individual is coming back, there have been threats made against our community, and why something didn't go out? Because I have friends that are teachers over there. I have students that I care and love about, and now I know all this information, and I'm trusting that you all are going to do what's right, and I've had to sit for 3 weeks waiting, and hoping that Emily was going to do the right thing, asking, does her board member know, who's making these decisions, who's allowing this girl to come back? I know she has a right to an education, I understand that whole piece of it, but you know what, our teachers deserve to be safe as well, and this person can come in at any time, because she would just look like a normal student. She would just walk around, like no one would be able to pick her out, no one knows who she is. So why was that allowed? Like why did she make that decision to not say anything to her staff? You know, even just the week before, or you know.
And I can't speak obviously to that decision making process. But what I can speak to is that there's a new process in place. This will not happen again. And I...
Will we find out about the process before it gets approved? Or will we be able to take a look at it?
And oh, sure. Well, see, it's never going to be, like, finalized. You know what I mean? Like, we'll release it, and then I'm going to have feedback, give you feedback, what else we can include. It's going to be a fluid thing. The basic tenets of the policy are going to be, you know, easy, understandable. The thing is, a communication plan is not hard to come up with. Right. Like, I'm learning about all the resources that we have and all the ways that we have to communicate with you. I'm going to just delineate that, make it super crystal clear, and ask for feedback. Well, and that's...
One of the things we're
Josh.
Josh brought up, you know, that we have the communication program. Obviously, this wouldn't be a it's a limited number.
Right.
The parents that have children whose voice to get, hey, if kids left school today, that would be a great
right.
forum to send.
Right. Right.
And then say, in the event you have concerns, please contact us at X.
Yes.
And then have resources available to respond to those.
Exactly. Right. And that's all.
In advance.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And you know what? I'm hearing two very distinct issues. We got the issue with communication, obviously, that started this whole thing. But I'm hearing another issue from some of the parents here with regard to safety regarding this child. That's going to be different than communication piece. We're talking special ed or whatever involvement was involved with the situation. And I think somehow these two got intermingled, obviously, because of the situation. But I think they're two distinct problems and two distinct ways they need to be dealt with.
I think there's three. You can't leave out the leader of this community.
Absolutely. That's at the very top. But for what we're talking about today, I think you're at your spot on. And I'm going to be honest with you, and they can attest to this. Every crisis situation is going to be a little bit different.
Right.
I mean, and I can tell you, you're going to make a decision based on what you have the minute you need to make that decision. And a lot of... Let me just finish. So you may not always make the right decision. It may be one of those, oh crap, I did the wrong thing. But you're absolutely right. You need to acknowledge the fact that you did the wrong thing, and you did the wrong thing because you had A, B, C, and D. And I think when you tell people you had A, B, and C, and D, and you didn't have anything else, well, that's what the decision was based on. But I hear what you're saying with regard to the parents' concern with regard.
Well, I just feel like I had the information, so I was able to make a decision on whether or not I was going to send my
absolutely.
Kids to school that day
absolutely.
Weeks before I sent an email out, you know, April 19th, you know, just to let you know my child's not going to school.
That was the one.
That was the one.
That was the one.
That
was the
Just, you know, I had the information, so I was able to send an email saying, my child will not be to school on 4/20, the 17th anniversary of Columbine, when this student is returning to the school, which, according to her Tumblr account, is where the obsession comes from, is Columbine. You know, her profile picture is Dylan Cable.
Let's,
yeah.
Yeah.
You okay, know but, what? But I'm just saying. So I sent the information out saying, like, my kid is not going to school on these 2 days because I do not feel comfortable. I know that May 3rd is probably the safest day for kids to be in school because of the security. You know, like I understand that, but I had information to say whether or not my kid was going to go to school that day.
Right.
Most parents did not. And that's really, really, that comes from the leadership.
Yeah.
And I feel from there is where she should step down because she went on and pretty much lied. You know, I felt like she lied to my daughter. I felt like she, not her, but what she had told her staff to say to us, that this information is going out, it is being dealt with, and nothing happened until 10 o'clock the night. I have a huge, huge issue with that.
I understand.
I just want to add something. I don't know whether the kid was coming back, the kid wasn't coming back, the kid was out of school for 6 months, the kid wasn't in school for 6 months. Somebody had to make the decision that this child was going to come back. During this time frame, do we know if this child had any, you know, mental health services that were provided? Do you know if this child...
No. But these are questions I want to put out there because I think parents need to think about these things. What kind of services was the child provided with? Is the child on medication? I mean, these are things that we can't answer. You know, was the parental involvement? Because I'm going to tell you, and they can attest to this, you know, if your child is much more likely to be successful if you have parental involvement. Were the parents involved? Is the parents working with the school district? I mean, we can't answer any
of these
questions.
But these are all things that the school district can make a decision based on.
Correct. Right. And so I have to assume that many of these things were in place because we've got school psychologists. I would imagine that they had mental health professionals from the community that were involved. They had people involved in law enforcement. They had people. So they would have gotten together to make this decision. So, you know, I understand your concern, but we need to look at the flip side as well, that hopefully they had all these ducks in a row before they made the decision to allow. And I don't even know if the child really was coming back or not because it sounds like them. Yeah. So,
so what's going to happen with this child now? It sounds like half the population knows who this person is. They know the threat. We know the escalation. So this person is more isolated, more targeted, more set up to have some sort of spectacular event. Is there support for this person?
You're never going to get 100%.
No, I'm not asking for 100%. I'm asking for a very disturbed child to have the support that they need when they're the target of all of the community.
I think that's a great question.
But how can you, as a parent, how can you sit there and talk about support when people are posting the things that I'm ashamed of some of the things that were posted on Facebook?
I know.
It is absolutely disgusting.
I agree.
I agree with that completely.
On the Park City School District.
I didn't see a lot of
targeting children stupid.
Because so even if you're reading between those lines,
you were the child reading that?
You would be reading between those lines thinking they were. And so, you know what? I agree. I think as a community, we're going to have to get better educated about mental health issues. It's one of the things I talked about last night when I was given my, you know. Exactly, my 20
seconds.
30
seconds.
Sorry.
I agree with your concerns. As a parent, you have to be concerned because your concern is about safety. If you look at law enforcement, there was no way that law enforcement was going to allow those schools to be open if there really was a threat. But it also ties into the communication. If that email had not gone out at 10 o'clock in the morning, we wouldn't be sitting here right now.
Yeah.
Was there special treatment or special, I mean, I know, like I said, I know she has a right to an education, but, you know, I do believe that the police department and the administration felt like it was that much of a threat, you know, that this individual, you know, to where they had, like I said, there was a police station outside of the house that day, that there are certain safety plans in place for when this girl, you know, does go to the learning center, comes back. Was there any type of, because I think from what I'm hearing from a lot of parents too, like outside of this, I just went on a field trip with Carly's, you know, parents are, you know, even with younger age students are really concerned, like, was there special treatments made because one of the parents is employed by the district?
I can't speak to anything specific about treatment or decisions. All I can say is that each situation is evaluated on a case-by-case basis. And that decisions are made.
PEPA is always a consideration, which means those people that aren't aware of PEPA, it's protection.
There should be some standardized protection too.
Right, and that's an interesting point, and I think that this is something where action can be taken. Come to the board meetings, participate in public comments, talk with your board members about policies that you want to see in
it. And it gets hard when you feel like it's on them.
Yeah, exactly.
I think a lot of, I hear a lot of people are frustrated when they feel like we're doing what you're telling us to do with little issues.
Mm-hmm.
And then we do these little simple issues that should be easy to change, logical to change, nothing gets done. It gets brought up meeting after meeting after meeting, nothing's ever done about it. And now we've got a big issue on our hands and we're all prepping ourselves with, like, how are they going to handle this when they can't handle it? The 5-minute issue.
Yeah. And, you know, to some of the points that have been raised here, I have to say I'm uncomfortable with the level of detail that families have been sharing. The district did a really good job of not identifying the gender, not identifying.
But I'm only saying this because everybody knows.
Okay,
everybody
but the only thing I didn't know.
Yeah, but you would. You would. As soon as your student came home and told you that, you would.
I didn't know.
So I'm not giving you any information that.
Can I finish my sentence?
Yes, yeah.
May I finish my sentence? I understand that that students were coming back with information and that I might know. And I had somebody text me and say gender and a couple of other facts. And I said, I don't want to know this because it's not my business. And if it were my kid, I would want the privacy to help my child. And I'm so upset with the idea that my child could be laid bare like this. I feel like we as a community have to. We are better than this. We have to do a better job of educating ourselves on what our responsibility is as parents to help our children understand what's appropriate, how to treat that information, how to bring it to us so that we can be the grown-ups of the situation, so that we can say, we're going to follow proper channels and it is important that you don't do this and don't do that. It is so basic that when my son came home yesterday and said, so-and-so called me stupid, I called this child's mother, the other child's mother, and said, you need to know this. And she said, thank you for telling me. And I said, I'm just going to let the teachers know to be on the lookout for it, but I want you to know, and I'm going to copy you on the email so that you know that your child is not painted any other way than a 9-year-old child who's learning things. And so that teachers understand that we're together on this and we're helping them and that we want their support. This is like the tiniest little basic thing. It's so small. And all I kept thinking about when all of this was going on was we teach our children not to bully and we're not careful enough. And I'm not casting stones at you because I want you to understand that. I'm saying as a community, we're not careful enough to look out for what these bullying points are.
I agree, and I just want to say, I think you're probably a fantastic mom. I love the way you're teaching your kids that, the respect for other kids. Unfortunately, we don't live in that age anymore. We live in an age of Facebook, Tumblr, Twitter, Snapchat, where other kids don't make good choices. And this information is going to be out there, and that child has been outed. Everybody in the community can know it.
For 3 weeks, I did not say anything. My daughter did not say anything. We kept our mouths shut in hoping that, you know, the district was going to do the right thing, and they did not. And now it's blown up, and now everyone knows who this individual is. And I just want you to know, and I want everyone else here to know, that we did not say anything. We sat for 3 weeks. I've had many tears.
Yeah.
My daughter's had many tears.
And like I said, I wasn't casting a stone at you. I'm just saying it's
not right.
This wouldn't have happened.
Yeah.
And number two, we live in a day where these teenagers, I am so happy that I did not have this at 16.
Mm-hmm.
I would have destroyed my career.
Yeah.
I can tell you that.
And far more tech savvy.
With a lot less self-control than we have, and they put stuff out there like this person did. And this is the result of some of that.
Yeah.
And it's unfortunate. So I kind of am glad that she has been talking about this. As much as it breaks my heart for this kid who's struggling, like I'm crushed over that. I've had family. Thank you. I'm just going to add to this real quick. So how many of you know how many psychologists we have in our entire district? We have 4,700 students. How many psychologists do we have?
Psychologists.
We have one that's the director, and we have one that handles all student issues. That's absurd.
Yeah.
It is totally absurd. We have no social workers in any of our schools. You look at any other school district, they all have social workers, and they usually have them at every single school.
Oh, you can get a social worker, but I just found out from the IEP meeting with my son that it's going to be for that person to get assigned to them. It's going to be maybe a year and a half wait list.
So, there are a multitude of issues that I think that this raises that need to be addressed. We need to have these discussions. We need to figure out the right solution. And I think everybody here is on the right track. I think everybody's heart is in the right place. We all see things just a little bit differently, but we now need to have these discussions about what are we going to do in a crisis situation? How are we going to help these children? How are we going to keep all the other children safe?
Yeah.
It's time to have that discussion.
That would be my plan, just to understand, like, what is the security plan moving forward? Right? We made it through May 3rd. We still have 1 month of school. If I have a child in the learning center, I don't know how eager I would be to send from now to the end of the year. So I don't know what you can share in terms of, is there now increased security? Because, you know, we've had this individual who's the subject of radio, television, social media. You know, like, what's the plan for the rest of the year? Is it something that you can share? Are you staying the course? Is it increasing? I don't know.
My understanding when the child is in a team a few days, when that child is there, it has to be accompanied by a parent and searched at the end of the day. That's not to say that any child at any time couldn't have a weapon on the school grounds, but the idea is that if this child disappears, then
that parent
is a police officer. And they still have certain rights. I mean, they give up a certain level of that. This is not for public consumption. Understand, part of a security plan is that it's secure and is not on social media. And that's what people have to understand. And we are not going to share everything with you.
Can you say that for me? Because if you could say that to the parents.
I can't say
just,
that.
No, just those words. That some of the security is not for public consumption.
I actually said it on the radio.
You did.
Yeah, but not all of us hear the radio all the time. So if we get it into communication to parents, we've got this great security plan in place.
I would love, you know, the reality is that I can't, I guess I
maybe in conjunction with
yes, with the district, and we have that same level of trust in the district to deal with it.
Right. We'd be fine. Exactly.
Absolutely. Right. So at some level, I just have to hand it to you and know you've got it.
And we're fine with that.
I don't think that the district is at that point.
Along
that's
those
the
lines,
problem.
Along those lines, you're the communication director. There is not a single current board member here today. What is the communication plan to get this information now?
We are meeting next week to debrief.
I would like to add, for what that's worth, ironically, we had a security sheriff and I. The undersheriff, who is also the SWAT team commander, and his former DEA ASAP, Frank Smith, who is very tactically savvy as well. And this has been our entire career, just so you understand. The reason I tell you that, not to impress you, but to impress upon you the reality that we evaluate this stuff. We had three bomb threats from Sundance. We dealt with them in a matter of probably evacuating them all within an hour. And we had information of active shooters. We can't put all this out
we don't want all that.
No, because it is true. Because when I talk about this even at council level, we don't want to see MRAPs. We don't want to see militarization. The reality is we are the first and last line of defense. I'm going to tell you that. We are it. You're not seeing the National Guard come in. You're not seeing, but we have relationships with other entities. And we have great relationships with the Joint Terrorism Task Force. They help us evaluate these situations. We talk regularly. My point being is when we're going through these types of things and evaluating, we cannot put it out on social media. We cannot have these conversations because this child still is protected under the Constitution. And they have certain rights and there still have issues. And as far as our ability to say we're searching this kid every time he's coming through, he's just coming on time.
No, but what we as parents need to know is that an entity that we trust has it under control and has a plan. And we didn't know that before. We know that now. We know that we trust you and the people, the plan that you have developed. We don't need to know the specifics, but we do need to know that there is a plan in place. And we don't need to be surprised the night before with something that's going to make things chaotic.
To be frank with you, I wouldn't put out anything because it was dealt with.
Exactly.
Well,
exactly.
That would have been better in kind of a way, but the thing is that also, if we find out
I'd love to talk to you. I had sergeants on, and we filled probably 50 plus calls. Our sergeants were on to answer specific questions.
So that is my question. Would it have been better if you had gone to school and seen it?
No, it would not have, right?
No, it would not have, right?
The thing is that if we knew that we could get information.
But that was so far ahead of.
If we knew that there was a plan, and if we knew that when we went to the school board or if we went to our principals and our concerns were actually legitimately looked at, we probably wouldn't be so pissed.
Right.
Overall, I mean, the fact that we're all saying, look, we trust what's coming out of the police departments, out of the sheriff's department, we trust what they're telling us. I mean, I've never made a call to your office and not gotten the information more than what I asked for, really.
That's because it's tried and true.
But my point is, I really think what Pietro was saying is accurate. We've got two issues, one of which was really well handled and one of which was not. And the one that was not is communication, the one that is not is trust. That's where as much information as we all can give back to Molly, since she's the new kid on the block and she doesn't have any agenda other than trying to fix it, let's figure out what do we want from this district? What specific things? I've given Molly suggestions. I've said to her, look, be transparent on a granular level. We are doing this, this, and this. We are putting forth this reading program, and we've talked to these experts now. We are putting forth a security plan.
Right,
that was right.
Because in the area that I worked, I started giving so much information, they got tired.
Right.
And they actually. I just want to say, when you give the information and people don't like it, that has to be heard too.
Yeah.
Because I think
I agree.
The issue is,
I agree.
Like,